top details watching the house. I should have warned you, Sam Giancana said. Balding, paper-skinned and sickly, the 67-year-old former boss of the Chicago outfit picked his way down the basement stairs ahead of Nikki.
No shit, said Nikki. I didn't see it.
The tan Coronet sedan had been parked on the opposite side of South Winona Avenue, two houses back from Giancana's brick bungalow. Nikki had been sitting low in his 74 Plymouth Satellite, parked four houses down from the unmarked Coronet, long enough to see Giancana's daughter and her husband leave with two outfit guys Nikki knew but not well, Butch Blasey, a long-time Giancana confidant, and Chucky English. The wine must have flowed at dinner, because everyone looked happy as they paired off into their cars and drove away. 10 minutes later, the Coronet came to life, swinging around in a U-turn and leaving its post well before the end of its midnight shift. Nikki had ducked down onto his right shoulder when the Coronet rolled past him, then sat back up, waited 10 minutes to be sure, and carried his shopping bag up the street to Giancana's side entrance. It was June 19th, 1975. Anyways, said Nikki, my plate number's nothing new to them. Giancana had Nikki's bag in his hands as they descended. Two steps in front of and below Nikki, Giancana's ashen scalp showed blemishes of aging through his wispy hair.
You're bringing food to his sick friend, so fuck him. This from Caputo's?
His real name was Gilormo Giancana, also known as Momo, also known as Mooney. Outfit boss from 1957 to 1966, early supporter of and later antagonist of John F. Kennedy, sometime companion to famous popular songstresses. Sam G. was world famous, but at age 67 he'd hit a rough patch. After almost a decade in exile in Mexico, he'd been unceremoniously deported back to the States. Then his gallbladder went, blood clots followed, and it was touch and go for a while. All this had aged him. Nikki came off the stairs into a basement apartment redolent of tobacco smoke and the woolly essence of old man. Giancana owned the house, set on the corner of Winona and Fillmore in suburban Oak Park, but chose to live only in the part that was underground. Nikki knew other old-timers who lived the same, guys who had spent most of their lives avoiding being watched, guys who didn't want to feel any eyes on them. Giancana had made a fortune during his exile in Mexico, something to do with casinos overseas. At least that was what everyone said, him most prominently among them. Or else it was a nut of truth wrapped in a caramel of bullshit, like Sam G's CIA tales. Globe-trotting multimillionaires with CIA connections rarely live in their basements. That said, he had it furnished with everything he needed. Nikki never got farther than the kitchen, which was complete. Through one doorway he saw a television and a humidor, some framed golf tee flags on the wall, a coat rack on which hung a fedora like the ones he wore when he was the boss. The other way, Nikki saw the foot of a bed and the back of another TV, the open door to a bathroom with a stand-up shower. Caretakers lived in the main part of the house upstairs, an older couple who would come down in the morning and make the dirty dishes in the sink go away. And he had three grown daughters to take him out to places now and then. There were worse ways to play out your string. Some people, not Nikki, wondered why a guy with money like that would return to the city he used to run rather than anywhere else in this beautiful land. Some people thought it strange, even suspicious, but Nikki understood. Home was home. It was the streets and the language and the people you knew. It was the markets and the food. It was the familiar. But it was still some questionable decision-making.